Well, good evening, everyone. Tonight, number 3 of our youth revival. Yep. Give the Lord a hand clap. Guys, we've had 2 great services so far. How many of you been here both nights? Amen. I know you left with a blessing both nights. Amen. And this night's not going to be any exception to that. We got some great preaching. Brother Philip is going to bring the word tonight. Yeah. And since Brother Dennis is here, we have Bug House represented. They do exterminate yellow jackets, so we are happy to know about that. Amen. We can vaporize them before they leave. Amen. I had to say that. But anyhow, we've got some great testimonies, good singing tonight. I'm going to open this up in prayer. And I think Rachel and Hannah are going to come and sing again. We're always glad to have them sing with us. By the way, just to let you know, if you missed any of the services, want to listen to them, you can go to our website, Bethesda1.org. We upload all the sermons, and the whole service will be on there. The first 2 are already on there. This one will be on there as quick as I can get home and get it on there. Amen. So please feel free to go to that website and listen to those if you want to. Last night, I mean, wow, that choir was just awesome. That choir was awesome last night. I know the Lord's going to do some great things tonight and tomorrow night. And remember, tomorrow night is our final night. We're going to have a little ice cream social. Want to remind the folks from Bethesda to please bring some ice cream, or else I just, as John talked about in 1 John chapter 1, I just became a liar, amen? please be sure and bring some ice cream, and we'll enjoy some fellowship time afterwards. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, then Rachel and Hannah are going to come sing and bless us with song to begin with. Father God, we thank you for another great day. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the testimonies we're going to hear, for the preaching we're going to hear, for the singing we're going to hear. And Lord, we just pray that you'll challenge hearts and minds. And God, we know you are. The Holy Spirit has been here very heavy the last 2 nights. God, we just pray you'll anoint this place with your Holy Spirit again tonight. And Lord, let nothing we say or do be about us, but let it all be about you to glorify you, Father. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give a hand clap for Rachel and Hannah.
Good evening.
Whoa. Good evening.
You are not on. It says I'm on. All right. Well, I'm a loudspeaker anyways. So we have a couple songs prepared for everybody tonight. And each time we sing, we always ask everyone to help us sing, but no one does.
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes we have like 1 or 2 people. But tonight the words are going to be on the screen, so you have no excuse. So
amen.
If everybody could please just stand to their feet and help us praise God.
Yeah.
And I will call upon you. and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Well, thank y'all. All right, we have one more to do right now, and then we'll keep going.
Age to age.
Second annual youth revival right here at Bethesda Baptist Church. Come on and give the Lord a mighty hand. Every time we're going to have a song by Sister Taniqua Hurst, but before she comes up, let me give her a brief introduction. Taniqua is the daughter of Tammy and Jerry Hurst. She graduated from Green County High School in May of 2015. Taniqua Hurst currently attends Bruton Parker College in Mount Vernon, GA, and attends Better Together Ministry. Again, come on and give Sister Taniqua a hand.
We ready?
You ready?
Okay, good.
Huh?
Good one.
I'm gonna resist.
Okay, you got it.
Yep, I got it.
You ready to go?
All right, y'all, praise the Lord for my sidekick up here. First of all, I want to say, y'all been kind of asleep all week for this to be a youth revival.
All right.
At least act youthful.
Amen. That's right.
So I want y'all to get up. Everybody get up. And y'all finna have fun with this song. Folks don't like to have fun in church no more.
Amen.
Okay. Y'all got to be serious all the time. He got lyrics. Hold on. We got to set that up for him. DJ, is it loud enough?
Open doors that I cannot see. Jesus will. Jesus will. Oh.
You fix that thing. Look, I still use a rotary phone at home, amen?
Amen. Come on now, y'all got to have some fun with it. This ain't no play for song.
It's a volume of phone. Okay.
There you go.
Ooh, open the door. Jesus will.
Have a testimony by Brother Leonard Collins. Before he comes, Leonard Collins is the son of Angie and Shane Collins of Oglethorpe County, where he has resided all of his life. Leonard is 21 and a member of Riverside Baptist Church of Comer, Georgia. He attended Oglethorpe County High School, where he graduated in 2013. After high school, Leonard joined the workforce, and he plans to start back working within the next year. Come on and give him a hand as he comes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
God is great, right?
That's right.
So Coach Lovin asked me if I would share my testimony. And without thinking twice, I said yes.
Amen.
But I got to thinking, I don't stand in front of people and talk. Why'd I agree to this? But I hope what I have to say will touch someone here.
Amen.
I grew up going to church every Sunday with my grandparents. But when I got in high school, I thought I had the world in my hand. So I quit going to church. I was more worried about having fun After I graduated and got a job, I felt invincible. I had a nice car, a great job, great friends, and a great relationship. I felt like nothing could stop me. Even though I had all these worldly things, I still felt empty. Like I was missing something. On December 5th of 2014, my life ended. I was heading home from work one morning when I was hit head-on by an 18-wheeler who was speeding. I was only 10 minutes from home when the accident happened. I was going 60 miles an hour when the Mustang went underneath the front of the 18-wheeler. When the emergency crews arrived, I was pronounced dead on arrival. I had no heartbeat, no pulse. I wasn't breathing. As a white sheet was being laid over my body, I opened my eyes. The paramedics immediately put me in the ambulance, where I died one more time before making it to the hospital. When I arrived at the hospital, I was stable, but losing too much blood. After only a few hours, I died one last time. I was shot back to life and put on life support. Surgery started immediately. I had major brain damage, broken neck, back, leg, and arm. I was in a coma for 17 days. When I woke up, I was in too much pain, so I went under a medically induced coma for the next month. While in a coma, I spoke to God. His voice made me tremble. It was comforting, though. He told me that he had tried to get my attention many times, but I wouldn't listen. He told me how many he said he needed my attention, and the life I had been living was not pleasing unto him. He told me that it wasn't my time to go, but I needed to be a better man and start living for him. The last thing he told me was I needed to go back home. And then I woke up. When I woke up, I didn't know who my parents were, let alone who I was. I had to be taught all the basic life functions again. Learning to walk was a big struggle for me. Even though I was awake, I don't remember any of that. When I finally woke up and knew who I was, I had 3 weeks left in the hospital. I looked at the board and realized it was now 2015. I wondered to myself, what had happened? When I learned that I had been hit by an 18-wheeler, I didn't believe it. I should have been dead. I saw a picture of my car. It wasn't even recognizable as a car anymore. Just some orange crushed up metal. The doctor told me and my family that I would never work again. I would never drive again. But that wasn't good enough for me. When this all happened in December, they told my parents I would never even wake up. And if I did, I'd be a vegetable. So there I was, awake, in a hospital bed, hearing the news that I would not be able to function. I had already done everything they had told me I couldn't do. I made it my goal to get better. A few weeks later, I was released from the Shepherd Center in Atlanta and sent home with many struggles in front of me. Before my accident, when I thought I had the world in my hands, I could lift over 300 pounds. When I woke up, I couldn't even lift 5. Who was the person I was looking at in the mirror? That's not the same person I remember. Even though I didn't have the same looks, strength, car, and money, I still had a relationship, or so I thought. Only a few months after I got home on our 1 year anniversary, she left me with no reason why. I was crushed. I finally felt like I had lost everything. I began taking depression medicine. I realized I needed to talk to someone. I began to pray and ask God for comfort and peace. One day I woke up and decided I didn't need the depression medicine anymore. I realize now, before my accident, I didn't have a relationship with God. He tells in the Bible he would do whatever it takes to get our attention,
yes,
to turn back to him.
Try.
He tried for a long time, but I wouldn't listen. Well, he finally got my attention.
Amen. Amen.
I should be dead, or at least in a wheelchair, unable to function, but I'm not. I'm here, and as you can see, I'm perfectly fine. I'm still waiting for a few more clearances from the brain and spinal doctors before I can start work. But I've come so far. I believe God needed to get my attention. I'm not where I want to be in my walk with God yet, but every day is a new day to praise him. I am so thankful to be alive.
Yes.
To be here. I'm so thankful I can share my testimony.
Yes.
With people. For a long time, I wondered why I even lived. This is why God needs me.
That's right.
To share my story.
Yeah.
I went from thinking that I had the world in my hands to thinking I didn't even want to live anymore. The old Leonard's gone. I now know that God is the only one who controls my life, my future.
Yes, that's right.
Not me. He had to take everything away from me for me to understand. I am so happy I lost world in this experience. I found myself and I found God.
Amen.
I still struggle with PTSD and short-term memory loss, but every day they gradually get better. If you ever question things, remember, who is the God of this universe and who makes miracles every day?
That's right. Yes, sir.
I am one of those miracles. I'm using my story to show proof that God's grace, love, and mercy does exist.
That's right.
Amen. And I am so sorry for mispronouncing your name. I am sorry. They mispronounced my name all the time. I know how to. At this time, I'm going to take up the offering. But while we're taking up the offering, Sister Hannah and Rachel are going to come give us another song. Rachel Moncrief is the daughter of Lane and Leanne Moncrief of Greensboro, Georgia. She is a member of Crawfordville Baptist Church for the past 13 years. Rachel graduated from Nathaniel Green Academy in 2014. She then attended GMC, from which she graduated in May of 2016 with her associate's in business degree. Hannah Rose is the daughter of Joe and Vicki Rose. She was born and raised in Crawfordville, Georgia as well, where she is a member of Crawfordville Baptist Church. Hannah began ministry at the young age of 15 when she joined Green County High School's FCA leadership team, leading fellow students to Christ. Since then, she has had many opportunities to serve God.
She graduated from Nathaniel Green Academy in May of 2014. Following high school, Hannah completed 2 years at Georgia Military College, where she graduated with her associate's degree in business administration this past May. Hannah plans to attend the University of Georgia in the fall to pursue a degree in consumer marketing. So we're gonna have our guys come and take up the offer and have another beautiful selection. Thank you.
Amen.
Father, please bless his tithes and offering, and thank you for letting us come to church and bless you, Lord, and please give the message to Philip as he gives it to us, and thank you for letting us come to your house. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to have a testimony by Brother Devin Mitchell. Devin Mitchell is the son of Dennis and Tina Mitchell. He has one older sister named Haley. Devin is a lifelong member of Union Point Worship Center. He attends school at Lake Oconee Academy and will be a junior this upcoming year. Come on and give Brother Devin a hand.
How are y'all?
Hi.
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, obviously, my name is Devin Mitchell. My parents, I always grew up in a real faithful home, I guess you could say. So not a lot of people get that privilege, but I'm blessed to say that I did. My mom and dad were both very faithful, had a very big impact on my life, very influential. So is my grandma, or I call her Meemaw. She is very, very, very faithful woman, one of the most faithful women that I know, and I'm just blessed to have a family that I can say that about. And, I'm going to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. It says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong." I read that basically because I feel like my parents And my church and my grandma, they really put that verse into action. You know, people can read verses and it not have any meaning to it, but when you have people who act in what the Bible says and brings the Bible alive, it really brings a new meaning to it. And I feel like when you do that, it's very noticeable, and I've noticed it throughout my life and how they've really shown it to me. And I'm hoping and praying that I can do the I'm hoping and praying I can do the same thing in my life and have an influence on other people's lives also. And then now I'm going to read another verse. It's out of John. It's chapter 6, and starting with verse 35. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Basically what that says, you put your faith in God and you put everything you have in Him, He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything else. He's going to take care of you.
Yes.
Verse 36 says, "But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." I mean, that He's just reassuring us right there. He's not going to leave us when we put faith. Sometimes in life, you'll put your faith in someone or something. It's a worldly thing. It's not always going to be there. It's not always going to be reliable, I guess you could say. But what basically God is saying there and in the Bible, He's just reassuring us that He's not going to leave us. He's not going to give up. He's not going to forsake us. He's always going to be with us. And then the last verse I'm going to read is out of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. And I feel like with this one, a lot of people have heard it. And I just, I really hope that once I've gone to meet the Lord, that people are able to read this verse and think of my name and think of how this really showed through my life. It says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me to on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have longed for His appearing." And I just feel like, you know, that's really something to look forward to. And
that's right.
He just told us, as long as we keep our faith in Him and only in Him, that He will promise us all of that in heaven in one day.
Amen.
Now we're going to have a song by Miss Savannah Green. Savannah Green is the daughter of Steve and Wanda Green. She recently graduated from Greene County High School last May of 2015 and will be attending Georgia Military College this upcoming fall. She has been singing since she could talk and is always blessing people with her beautiful voice, whether it's in church, at a wedding, or just simply singing around the house. Come on and give Savannah a hand if you can.
Morning, He is here to
Introduce Philip, and then after that, Sister Hannah and Rachel are going to give us another beautiful selection, and then the next voice you will hear will be none other than Minister Philip Rose. Oh,
good evening. My name is Michael Etheridge, which you probably already knew, and tonight I have the honor of introducing not only our preacher for tonight, but a friend. His name is Philip Brian Hubbard, and this is what I and many others probably think of when they hear his name. Some words that come to mind are loyal, honest, determined, morally good, a Yellow Jacket fan, and a man that wants to spread the word of God to everyone. Philip was born and raised in the big old city of Union Point, Georgia, by Brian and Paige Hubbard, along with his brother Justin Hubbard. And let me tell you, nothing goes on in Union Point, Georgia without Philip Hubbard knowing. Philip started preaching at the age of 8 on December 31st, 2005. He attends the Union Point Worship Center, which is a Pentecostal church, but don't worry, he didn't bring his snakes tonight.
You got him in the box over there.
He sings in the choir, helps teach Sunday school, and of course preaches there. He has started the process of receiving his preaching license through the Congressional Holiness Committee. Philip loves fulfilling his calling to preach the Lord's Word, and any time that anyone has needed Philip to help them through something that has beat them down and made them ready to give up, Philip has been there to remind them that the Lord is up there watching over them, like yes. He is us all.
Amen.
Philip graduated from Greene County High School in May 2015 and is currently attending the University of North Georgia in Oconee County, where he is currently majoring in broadcasting and is spreading the word of God across campus.
Amen.
Now, before we hear the word from Minister Philip Hubbard, let us hear one more song from Hannah Rose and Rachel Moncrief. Thank you.
This song right here is one of my personal favorites. Yes, we sure are.
I don't have it together, guys. I'm sorry.
While she's digging around in my guitar case for that, y'all heard us. I'm sure y'all heard us do this song before. This is a song that, no matter what you are going through, no matter what hard trials in your life you are going through, this song brings comfort. Amen. And if you just listen to the words, if you look at the words, if you want to read them, if they're up there on the screen, just think about that. It's my personal favorite.
Amen.
And I want to dedicate this song tonight to my granny who passed away 2 years ago in just a few days. This song was really comforting for us, and I just feel like this is just a song that I think of when I think of everything I've been through in my life and all the hardships. So this one's for you.
Amen.
sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in to save the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise to God who gives,
yes,
and takes away. You in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Carry on if I can't find you. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm.
Love the Lord tonight.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was looking late in the planning, and I can't believe I put Daryl Evans preaching the night right before me. So it's a high order to call to. But I just want to thank God for His grace and His mercy. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
We've heard some great testimonies, some great songs. Brother Leonard, Brother Leonard, we've heard some great testimonies. Not to belittle anybody else, but a death experience, and you've seen the face of God.
Amen.
You got me beat.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
I tell you, It's my honest belief that a 5-minute testimony can preach a better sermon than a 30-minute sermon. Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But I'm not going to try to keep you long, but I'm not going to cut my message short either. Amen.
Amen.
I got to preach what is on my heart.
Amen.
What God has laid on my heart. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Matthew.
Amen.
Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 14. I will ask you as you turn there, would y'all please stand to your feet to honor the reading of God's word.
Amen.
When you get to the 14th chapter, go to verse 25. This is a very familiar scripture, but this is what God has given me. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And it reads, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. How many has ever cried out for fear?
Yes.
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But, there's that but, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
That's right.
And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given us once again to come into your house.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I want to thank you for the two nights, for everyone coming out. Lord, I ask you to bless them.
Yes.
And Lord, I ask you to bless everyone here tonight, Lord, that they don't see me standing up here, but they'll see you shining through me.
Oh, yes. Amen.
And Lord, don't let them hear what I've got to say, because everything I say, you have given me. Amen.
Yeah.
And Lord, I'm going to ask you to touch the people here tonight. Let them be open to receive what you have for them here tonight.
Yes. That's right.
And Lord, I ask you just to bless this church, bless everyone here. I'm going to ask this all in the name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you.
Amen.
Back in the month of March, I'm going to get situated up here for a minute. Because we may get going, Minister White. But back in the month of March, God spoke to me one late night. And anybody that knows me, when it comes 9 o'clock, Phil Hubbard's in the bed. Well, he spoke to me at 10:30 one night. Now, that's midnight for me. But it had to be God, amen.
That's right.
But he spoke to me one late night and gave me 6 sermons. Now, I assure you, I'm not going to preach all 6 here tonight. But I wouldn't do that to you. But this is one of those sermons, and it's been going through my mind. And I want to preach on the subject. I want to preach on the subject. Fully trusting God. Fully trusting God. Now, I didn't say halfway trust God. I didn't say just trust God when life is good. I said fully trust God. Well, what does fully trusting God mean? Well, Webster Dictionary says that fully trusting is the full manner of belief that someone or something is reliable. That's God, amen?
Yeah.
We need to have the full manner of belief tonight and every night of our lives, every day of our lives, that God is able to perform what he said he will accomplish, amen?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 26:4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. That verse says, trust in the Lord when? Forever. We all need to get to the point where we fully trust God. Amen.
See, when we feel like we could save the world when we first get saved, but somehow, some way, we lose our trust in God. Because we need to trust God with everything, amen?
That's right.
Because let me tell you, the way this world's turning out, we can't trust the government. We can't trust the president. And I assure you, we cannot trust the presidential candidates, amen? You can't trust the money that's in your bank because you may wake up and it'd be gone, amen?
Right.
The only thing that we can really trust wholeheartedly is Jesus Christ.
That's right, yes sir.
Because let me tell you, I'm going to let you down.
Amen.
Some people may think they're not going to let you down, but let me tell you, I'll let you down.
Yeah.
Your pastor will let you down, not intentionally, but there's some things that you cannot trust us with.
That's right, yeah.
And whether you believe it or not, your 5,000 Facebook friends, you can't trust them wholeheartedly. Amen.
That's right.
But we need to get to the point where we fully trust God. You may ask me, Philip, how do I get to the point where I can completely trust God? I'm glad you asked. The first thing we have to do in order to fully trust God is we have to recognize who God is.
Yeah.
Brother Philip, I know who God is. He is the God the Father who made heaven and earth. That's all fine and dandy.
Yeah.
But who is God in your life?
Mm.
Do you notice Him in your life every second of every day?
Mm.
How many here takes a deep breath and says, thank you, Lord?
Amen.
Can I ask you one more question, Taniqua? You're my amen corner over there, quiet. But what's your thoughts when you look out the window and it's raining? Do you thank God for another day, or do you say, oh, Lord, it's going to be a long day? I'm just preaching where we live, amen. We need to quit kidding ourselves that life is always great when it's not.
Yeah.
Because as I told Siloam Missionary Saturday at their conference, if I had it my way, I'd be preaching that life is good.
Yeah.
If I had it my way, I wouldn't be preaching up here today, because when life is good, what's the point of preaching?
That's right. Yes, sir.
But, you know, we think of these things.
Mm.
There's a song I sang. The chorus goes, for the God on the mountain is still God in the valley.
Yes, sir.
When things go wrong, He's going to make them right.
He will.
And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Amen.
That's right.
For the God of the day is still God in the night. He doesn't change. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The God we praise and worship on the mountain is the same God that walks through us with us through the valley.
Yes. Oh, no. Yeah, He does.
Through our heartaches and troubles, He's still God, amen.
Yes.
But we fail to recognize who God is. Mm-hmm. You may say, how can we not recognize who God is when God has done so much for us? Sadly, sometimes we don't do it. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. They had the living Jesus, the Son of God, right there in front of them. And they didn't even recognize who He was. So don't tell me you never doubted God. Because Paul and them here, they had the living Jesus, and they didn't even recognize Him.
That's right.
Don't tell me there hasn't been a point in your life where you couldn't know where God was. Because the disciples here were as human as we are. They weren't nothing special. And they didn't even recognize Jesus. But you see, they recognized Jesus just a few verses back when He was feeding the 5,000. But here they thought Jesus was a ghost. Sometimes we say, oh, I was just lucky. We call them a chance. We call them luck. We call them coincidence, when it's really the favor of God on our lives. But we've got friends of ours who don't even recognize who God is, but we don't even witness to them. Can I be bold for a minute, then I'll be back.
Yep. Go ahead.
But we have people sitting on the front pew on Sunday morning can't even recognize who God is. We have people that could shout the house down, speak in tongues, quote the scripture, but that's not knowing Jesus.
That's right.
Knowing Jesus is forming a relationship with Him. Well, Philip, this all sounds good and everything, but What does recognizing Jesus have anything to do with trusting Him? Again, I'm glad you asked. Let me paint you a picture here. Imagine if your best friend, mine is Michael, he didn't do me too far, he didn't roast me too hard over there.
Amen.
But if he asked to borrow $50, I know who Michael is, amen?
Amen.
I know him because I formed a relationship with him. But if he asked me to borrow $50, I would trust Michael to pay me back. Now, Peter's questionable. But think about your best friend. I tell you, it's good to laugh, amen? Especially in today's world. But think about your best friend. Mine is Michael, Mitzi, Ilse, Peter sometimes. And I would trust them with $50. Why? Because I know who they are. But think about a stranger walking up to you. Would you trust a stranger with $50? Y'all got quiet on me now. But would you lend a complete stranger $50? Now, if God had to come down and directly speak to me before I give him that amount of money. But 9 times out of 10, we wouldn't lend it to him. Why? Because we don't recognize and know who they are. It's the same thing we are with God. Amen? And sometimes we've gotten so far away from God, we don't even know who He is.
That's right.
Now, if somebody blindfolded me out there on the road and Coach Lovin went 50 miles down the road, he'd be so far, I wouldn't know he was there.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with God. We done gotten 50 miles away from God. We can't even see Him anymore.
Yeah.
It's really sad that we live in that world, but it's the truth. I'm just going to preach where we live because I'm held accountable, Minister White. I'm held accountable. But we don't even know who God is.
That's right.
We've got people that can quote Scripture. Oh, yeah, they can quote Genesis 1 through Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
We've got people that can sing just the most beautiful song, can preach the most laid out message, but they don't know who God is.
That's right. Yeah.
Who can shout with the best of them, but knowing God doesn't have anything to do with that. Having perfect attendance on Sunday morning ain't going to get you nowhere with God, because it's about forming a relationship with Him.
Yes.
But we have to recognize who God is, amen, before we can fully trust Him.
That's right.
After we recognize who God is, we need to keep and hold on to that trust. Amen?
Yes.
You know, we'll believe God right after He brings us through a storm. But when life is good, nowhere to be found near the church house. We'll begin to trust Him when we get desperate. But when life is good, they're not even preaching Jesus. Amen? I've done it too. Because we've been kidding ourselves too long, Taniqua. We've been kidding ourselves that the church is still the center of America when we've got people just shooting up people for no reason. Now that proves it to me that the church is nowhere in and God is nowhere in America.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm not, I believe this wholeheartedly. I'm not, and I'm preaching to myself here tonight. I'm not standing before you as a perfect person. I'm standing before you as a good for nothing. Don't need to be standing up here sinner. But I'm saved by grace.
Yes.
But we all lose that trust. The song I referenced to earlier says, now it's down in the valley where our faith is really put to the test.
That's right.
You see, we easily lose our trust when life is great and everything is going our way. But we can also lose it easily when we're going through something tough.
Amen.
We see here in this story, look at verse 24. The wind was already contrary to the boat and to the ship, already rocking to and fro. But you see, when Jesus came unto them, they didn't even know who He was. But once they built up enough trust in Him, Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter trusted God when he stepped out, amen? Peter trusted Jesus to bring them out of that rocky boat off the to and fro sea. However, when Peter got out there, he thought he had it. See, we get so arrogant sometimes, and we say it's confidence, but we get so arrogant sometimes where We think we've got it.
That's right.
That's what got Lucifer out of heaven. He thought he was better than God, amen? But Peter trusted him, and we're no different than Peter tonight. We can believe God for the little things, but as soon as we get out in that water and think we're all alone, somehow, some way, we lose that trust. And it feels like we're all by ourselves. Peter here believed that God was going to get him out of the boat. But look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Another trial came and Peter lost his trust. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, we'll be on cloud nine when God brings us out of a storm. But as soon as another one comes, somehow we lose it. We do like Peter, and we get our eyes on the problem when we need to get our eyes on the problem solver. You may think that you're perfect and that you've never witnessed this before, but the Bible says you're going to believe a lie and be damned. Hannah Rose shared her testimony, another beautiful testimony this week, and said to us Sunday night, "I question God." Some people said, "Oh Lord, she questioned God?" We do it too. She was just bold enough to say it. But Hannah, that was a beautiful testimony. But I noticed that she said, "I question God." How many people question God? How many is bold enough to admit that you question God? Amen.
Yes, that's right.
And you may ask me, why do I need to trust God? Why do I need to trust God? It's simple. It's a simple thing. Because His promises are true. Look at verse 29. And He said, "Come." Now that was a mouthful that Jesus said there. Amen. You may think, "Lord, Philip has gone crazy," which I have. But when Jesus said, "Come," He told Peter that no matter what happens, I'll be there for you. Because Jesus knew what was going to happen on that sea before He even started walking on that sea. Amen.
That's right.
But when Jesus said, "Come," He promised Peter that He'd be there for him. Now, He didn't promise him that it would be smooth seas when he walked out there.
Yeah, that's right.
And what Jesus did to Peter, what did Jesus do when Peter began to sink? He saved him. He's going to do the same for us. Yes, I'm sure Jesus was disappointed in Peter. He's been disappointed with us on a lot of occasions. But you see, He didn't beat him up. He didn't beat him up. That is what has soured most people on religion and believing in Christ, is we beat them up. Amen?
That's right.
My Bible tells me that His Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Nowhere in my Bible that I've read where it says it's a hammer, amen, to beat people up.
Yeah.
But Jesus delivered on His promise to protect Peter. You may ask, that's just one promise, Phil. His Word is full of them. Can I share a few with you tonight? Then I'll be done, hopefully. I'm sure y'all are ready to get out of here. I'm preaching too hard, amen, because y'all ain't amen. But He has promised us in Philippians 4:19 that He will supply every need we have. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God promised that His grace is sufficient. That God has promised that His children would not be overtaken with temptation.
Yeah.
Instead, He assures us that there's a way of escape will be provided.
Oh, yes.
Jude wrote in Jude 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of grace." God has promised us victory over death.
Yeah.
Peter said, "Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses," in Acts 2:32. God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love and serve Him faithfully, in Romans 8:28. It may be difficult for us to see and understand how this is accomplished at times, but God has promised and He will deliver.
That's right.
He's delivered that promise this week, amen.
Amen.
This week of revival would not have been possible if God did not ordain it. Because I could be up here all day. I could be up here Daryl could be up here, Coach Cody Peter could be up here all day and not accomplish one thing. But the Spirit of God has been here and he's accomplished. Amen. God has promised that those who believe in Jesus and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins will be saved in Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38. God has promised his people eternal life in John 10:27-28. God promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us in Deuteronomy 31:6. Now listen to this. This is my favorite promise of all. Psalms 139:8 says, even if I make my bed in hell, he'll be there with me. Amen. You know, we're in the political season, and Donald Trump and Hillary and Bernie and all these others, they make a lot of promises knowing they can't keep them.
All right.
But God has promised, and he would deliver on his promise. Amen.
That's right.
But because, you know, I've trusted a lot of people in my life. Some have let me down. Most haven't. But none of my friends I could trust with my life. Can I be honest with you? I can't trust Michael for my eternal salvation.
That's right.
I can't trust Coach just because he's a pastor with my eternal salvation. Well, Philip, these promises are in the Bible. How can you trust that? By faith.
That's it.
But here are things I've seen firsthand. I've seen a blinded man walk into my church and he walked out seeing again.
All right.
I've seen family members and friends of mine be on their deathbed and they're still here today.
Yes.
I've seen people in my church get told they had cancer, but praise God, they are still alive and well today. When I've been sick, God has healed me. When I was discouraged and wanted to give up, that still small voice has spoken encouragement to me. Because I can trust Jesus because of what he has done in my life. And the testimonies that's been shared this week just gets me excited all over again about Jesus. I was in a conversation with someone just recently. They said, Philip, you go through storms whether or not you believe in Jesus. My reply was, yes, you do. But I'd much rather go through the storms with Jesus than go through them alone. Amen. Because God has been too good to Philip Hubbard for me to turn my back on him now. Jesus has seen me through things only he can bring me through. Amen. And I know he's going to continue to bring me through things long as I hold to his unchanging hand. But to answer the question, why do I need to trust Jesus? The answer is because his promises are true.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to ask you a question. Are you trusting Jesus tonight? Well, Philip, how do I know I'm trusting in Jesus? Can I tell you what's not in trust in Jesus? There's no worry. There's no bitterness. There's no anxiety. There's no logging on that thing called Facebook and gossiping about folks. There's no discouragement in fully trusting God. However, there is peace that surpasses all understanding. There is confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence. Here's this P word we don't want to hear. There's patience in trusting Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And can I tell you tonight as I begin to close, it is safe to trust in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is safe. Now, if you can't shout on that, it is safe to trust in the Lord. Isaiah 12:2 says, I will trust and will not be afraid. Let me assure you here tonight, you'll never regret the decision to fully trust God. Give it all to him tonight. Don't wait another second because we're not promised the next second. We're not promised the next breath. And we're surely not promised to wake up in the morning. This old hymnal, I've been singing it. It's been in my heart for the past probably month or so. I'm not going to sing, Daryl. I want them to come back tomorrow night. But all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily I live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Listen at this. Because all world's pleasures and possessions have forsaken, take me to Jesus. Come on and take me now. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done for the night. Y'all are done for me for the week. Can you say amen? But when you make the decision to surrender all to Him, and I hope you will pray that, make that decision tonight. But you won't regret the decision whenever you make it. When you begin to fully trust God, that's when true worship will begin in your life. You see, we get praise and worship mixed up, amen? Praise is when life is great. When you praise God, you're up on the mountaintop. But worship is when the odds, true worship is when the odds are stacked up against you and you see no way out. When everyone but Jesus has given up on you, that's true worship. Because we have to trust Jesus to bring us through. Because He's the only one that promised He'd be there with me to the end. Amen. And Andres Aparicio over there did not promise he'd walk with me to the end. Taniqua Hurst, I love her to death, but she ain't promised me she's going to walk with me to the end. She can't. There's no way possible, because when you're sick on your deathbed and you go to meet Jesus, who's going to cross over Jordan with you?
That's right.
Can I preach?
Yeah.
But you see here, I want to close with this right here. This is my third close. And Daryl, in my Pentecostal church, we don't play with snakes either, brother. But we get three closings. So this is my third and final one. I've got to sit down on this one. But when Jesus picked Peter up out of the water from drowning, Matthew 14 and 33, very last verse, I believe, that we've read. They came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand. But I'm going to ask you tonight, I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Coach. You don't have to tell Daryl. Just you and Jesus come down here to this altar. I want to ask you, and I want you to ask yourself, are you fully trusting God, or are you lying to yourself? Let's be honest with ourselves tonight. The time of Jesus' return is near. And can I tell you, it's sooner rather than later.
That's right.
Because this old world is about to wrap up. Amen.
That's right.
And we need to be about our Father's business. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. They're going to play a CD back there. I'm going to ask the preachers to come up to the front. And I'm going to be done. Daryl, if you want to stand on this side, and Peter and Coach in the front. The altars are open. And we've had a great time, but I've been troubled in my spirit because nobody's come. I'm glad they're coming, amen. And see, if you don't get anything from this, if you don't come down here and get anything, you shouldn't have come. But our lives is an open book for him. They're going to play a CD. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to turn it over to Coach. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
This altar is open up here, guys. Let me say something to you. There's only one decision you'll make in your life that's of any importance. That's your decision to follow Jesus. Yeah, can you give me the yellow light? There's only one decision you'll make that means anything.
Yep.
And that's your decision to follow Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Guys, I want to tell you something. The Bible says if you continue to walk in darkness, you don't know the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. You continue to walk in darkness, you don't know Jesus. Many people say, I know you, Jesus, but yet they continue to live in darkness. You see, darkness and light do not exist in the same vessel.
Yeah.
I believe there's some of you out here right now need to come and get out of this old-fashioned altar. Let me tell you something. This altar is for God's children to get themselves right. Amen. This highway is for you to come and find Jesus. You see, this altar right here ought to be full each and every Sunday when you have an altar call. You know why? Because we all have issues. Amen. Let's go and lay them at the feet of somebody who can take care of them. Don't trust them with the world. They don't give you poor advice. That's why some people are living in darkness now. Because people have given them poor advice. Some of you need to get off of some of this social networking. Young people, I want to focus on you right now. Guys, I want to tell you something. You need to go home and you need to purge your friend list. Because what a friend we have in Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. I know there's a lot of things that are going on in some of your lives. What better time than right here this week for Bible? Come and cleanse yourself up here at this altar. We're going to keep this altar open for a couple more minutes. Will you come? Are you going to continue to deny Jesus before men? Are you going to move and let the Holy Spirit of God bring you up here and get yourself right? Get yourself right.
Guys, it's time for the men and women of Christ to start acting like we're children.
I feel the Holy Spirit of God in the house tonight. Amen. Guys, we have had three awesome nights. Let me tell you something. These young men, who none of them over 23, I think Cody's the oldest, he's 23. Anointed by the Holy Spirit of God at this young age. Imagine what these guys are going to be for them. This is Lou Reed. She's one of my church members. We call her Wheezy, amen? Wheezy, amen? This lady's a fine lady right here. And she wants to just share something with you real quick before we close tonight, amen?
Amen. I joined Bethesda Baptist Church several years ago. But right lately, I have found myself in places that I'm not proud of. I've doubted my faith.
Amen.
And that's not what God wanted. So tonight, I'm rededicating my
life.
I know He has plans for me, and I just have to put my life in His hands and let Him show me where He wants me to go.
Amen. This door the same way you came in it, amen. Now, that's not what it's all about. It's about getting cleansed, by finding you some Jesus, and about taking Him out into a lost and dying world, amen. Guys, I'm so proud of everybody here tonight. I love everybody here tonight. I want you to know that, man, we're all in this same together. We're in this same together. Peter and Daryl and Philip and Peter and Cody, he wasn't able to be here. He's in school right now. Should have graduated. My pocketbook is real lucky right now. It's me. It's going to take 17 years to get out of college. But, he loves the Lord. These young men love the Lord. You know, we all mess up, don't we?
Amen.
Guys, let me tell you what. We serve a God whose grace covers us. Amen. If that wasn't the case, this preacher right here would have to just walk out the door right now. I told my congregation, you hired a sinner for your preacher. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
Guys, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I hope you're back tomorrow night. We're going to have some ice cream after we get done. And we've had some great musicians, great singing. Savannah, wow, what a voice. Amen.
Amen.
Hannah, Rachel, just great music y'all guys have brought. Great testimonies. Annika and Maddie last night singing. Just, we have had some great music. Taniqua blessed us tonight as well. Great testimonies, great preaching. Guys, if you haven't felt the Holy Spirit here tonight, if you're not on fire tonight, you would as well, amen. That's all I can say. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please come back tomorrow to end this thing out strong. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, you created this day. You give everybody 24 hours in each day. And Lord, what we do with those hours is up to us. But God, it's for me. I want to spend more of that time serving you. And I just pray that that's the prayer of many people here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the lives that were changed here tonight. I thank you for the cleansing that came here tonight up here in this old-fashioned altar. Lord, I thank you for these young men who are bold enough to stand up for you. Lord, they're young. But Paul told Timothy, don't let them mess with you because you're young, because you're just as good as these old seasoned veterans, man. And I'm just thankful, Lord, for being in your house tonight. I'm thankful, God, for your love. Lord, we can never repay you for what you've done for us. And sending a part of you in a fleshly body to come down here and die for a bunch of sinners, God, but you're so awesome. You're so loving. And we thank you, God. We give you the praise. We pray that these lives that have come up here tonight and prayed at this altar will be changed and transformed and renewed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I'll come back tomorrow night.
Brother.
Yeah,
it's all right.
to get my vocal cords primed and ready. Man,